Well, good morning, everybody. It is so good to be back here again and to see you and have various opportunities over these few days of sharing with you. And I'd like to start by just thanking all of you, Matthew and all the rest of you as well, for the wonderful support that you continue to give me out in Sudan. You really are a good support church, so thank you very much for that. In the corner at the back of the church, there is a table with all sorts of knickknacks from Sudan on it. So please don't rush away afterwards. Please go and have a look. And there's some little leaflets there. If you'd like to know more about my work, there's a little leaflet that looks like that for you to take. There's a few little maps of Sudan, and there are some leaflets from CMS also. So please feel free to take those if you would like to. I wonder what is the most adventurous journey you have ever made in your life, if you look back over your life. Maybe it's a travel overseas, or something very daring you've done somewhere else. I don't know. For you, what is the most adventurous journey you have ever made? Today we're looking at Jacob, who was going on a long, long journey. His father, Isaac, had settled in a place called Beersheba, which was in the south of Canaan. And they had a bit of a family problem because Isaac, the father, had become very old and he wanted to pass on his blessing, which should have gone to Esau. But Jacob, through deception and so on, steals the blessing from his brother. And so there is great tension in this family. And in fact, Esau wants to kill his brother Jacob. So Jacob is advised to hurry away from their home there and to go and stay with relatives in a place called Haran. And so Jacob is setting out on a long journey, a journey which is going to be about 500 miles and which would have taken him between 1 and 2 months to get there. So Jacob has set out on this journey and very early on night comes and he wants to sleep. And while he's sleeping, he has a dream. And he sees this staircase reaching from heaven down to earth with angels going up and down it. And the Lord at the top of the ladder. And this ladder, as we also see from John chapter 1, is seen as a link between heaven and earth. A link between human beings and God. And as we all know, Jesus is the mediator between heaven and earth. But as part of this dream, God speaks to Jacob very powerfully. And he talks about the relationship he has with Abraham and also with Isaac. He reminds Jacob of the dealings he's already had with his ancestors. And he is inviting Jacob to also follow in his footsteps. And God makes the promise to Jacob about the promise of a land, a good land, that they will inherit, many offspring, and the way that their families will bring blessing to many other people around. So promises that are being given to Abraham and to Isaac are also now being offered to Jacob. And as part of this, God is promising his protection and his presence with Jacob wherever he goes. Now this dream was going to be very important to Jacob because he was setting out alone on a long journey into the unknown. And as he went, his experience would be that God was his watchman. And one day he would actually return to the place he had left. And he was going to learn that God was the Lord of history, who was in charge of the movements he was making. But God did not promise Jacob that there would be no hardships along the way. But what God was saying to him is that whatever the difficulties, whatever the frustrations that you may face in the future, that it won't prevent the Lord fulfilling his promises and carrying out his purpose in Jacob's life. Now, having had this encounter with God, what was Jacob's response? Surely God is in this place. And I wasn't aware of it. And he takes the stone that he has used as a pillow, and he pours oil on it to set it apart as something very special to God. Now, because he was traveling, he probably didn't have animals that he could sacrifice to God. But he wanted to do something which was an offering from his heart. So that is why the oil is poured on this stone. And that is his offering to God as he sets out a little sort of altar in that place. But then he says to God, well, you know, if you're going to protect me, if you're going to look after me, if you're going to provide for me, then you will be my God. See, when Jacob had left home, he had many problems. And I think he was probably living a life which was out of step with God. But through his journey, through this encounter with God, we can see how God is acting dramatically to catch Jacob's attention through this dream. And then the challenge is given to Jacob, are you going to follow in the footsteps of your ancestors? Was Jacob prepared to make that commitment or not? Because first he needed to commit himself to God if he was then going to follow out God's purposes. And that's the same for us as Christians. We need to be committed to Jesus first if we then want to go and bear fruit for Jesus later. Now, as I look at this story here of Jacob, and I think of my time in Sudan, I can see many parallels with what was happening to Jacob, as what's also been my experience in Sudan. Because when I set out 10 years ago, I was going on a long journey to a place more than 4,000 miles away, and I was going alone. I was going into the unknown, to a country where I had never been before, thinking, what lies ahead? God pointed Jacob back to the relationship he already had with Abraham and with Isaac. And when I arrived in Sudan, I realized that I was part of a long history of CMS mission partners actually working in Sudan. You know, many people had gone before me and had done a great work. It was my time now, okay, but there were many, many people who had gone before me. And I was also very aware of the promises of God. Now, before I went out there and in the early days, there were many, many times in the Bible when God seemed to be speaking to me and saying, okay, I know I've put you in a dangerous place, you've gone into the unknown, but I am there with you. And just as Jacob knew that God was his watchman as he travelled around, I've really sensed that as I've been in Sudan. And I've also been able to come back to the country I left. You know, when I left 10 years ago and my parents said goodbye to me, I think they were thinking, will we ever see her again? Because it was a place of war, it was a place of danger, a place of famine and all sorts of other things. And my parents were hesitant, will they ever see me again? But God's been good. And every 2.5 years, you know, I come back and I see people again. So God has been faithful in that one. But also suffering hardships. God never promised it would be easy in Sudan. But God's plans are still being worked out, despite the hardships that we face in that country. So, you know, when Jacob said, well, surely God is in this place, but I wasn't aware of it. Now, I can also relate to that as I look back. You know, when I first went out there to work with this TEE program, that's Theological Education by Extension, and what I'm doing is training church leaders, both ordained and lay people. We're training them through distance learning, so they can stay in their homes and in their villages. They learn at a distance. They don't have to go away to college. But you know, I had no experience of the TEE program before I went out there. I was completely green, and I had to start at the beginning. But you know, as I look back over the last 10 years and I see how God's led us and how it's developed, you know, I can say, you know, God was in there. Maybe I wasn't fully aware of it at the time, but God was leading and guiding and showing us the way ahead. The hand of God was there. And then our journeys as we travel on horrendous roads. You know, I could tell you hundreds and hundreds of stories about what's happened on the roads in the car. And the insecurity on the roads also. But, you know, God has been there. Maybe we didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, I think, well, how do we get out of that? It was God. You know, he was there. And then some of the hardships we face. You know, feeding is not easy. You have to grow food if you want to eat out there. And sometimes feeding has been difficult, but God has always provided from somewhere. You know, the very basic living conditions where there's no tap to turn on, no electricity, no gas, no internet, no telephones. You know, basic living conditions. But God helps us. He's helped me to cope in a situation like that. Mosquitoes. I get bitten from head to foot by mosquitoes. For the last 9 years, I've not had malaria once. God has been very good at looking after my health. God is there in that place. And even over here with my family at home, you know, when you have elderly parents, it's a worry when you're overseas. Now, what is happening back here? And last year, my mother was very, very seriously sick. And at one stage, they thought she might not pull through. But as soon as we alerted the churches to pray, things started to change. And now my mother's better than she's been for years. No, God is there in that place doing things. And then giving me the colleagues to work with. I have two wonderful drivers at the moment. I have one of the best bishops that we have in Sudan. I have two watchmen and a house girl in my house who look after me. Wonderful provision of God. God is in that place. So as I look back, I can see the hand of God at work there. And you know, I have learnt many lessons through being in Sudan. One is that I've had to trust God in a way in which I never really did in this country, where life is a lot easier. But the car breaks down in the middle of nowhere, what can you do? No AA. All you can do is pray. You get sick, no medicine, no hospital, no doctor. All you can do is pray. I hardly ever did that in this country. I was hardly ever in a situation where the only thing I could do is pray. And then I've learned to take every day and every moment as it comes and thank God for every new day. Sudanese are very aware that every new day is another day of life, another day of gift, a gift of God. And let's make the most of it, because you don't know how many days you've got ahead. You know, so many people have been dying because of war or sickness or whatever. So make the most of each day and thank God for it before we move on to the next day afterwards. Hopefully there will be another day. But then what about facing the hardships? All of us face various hardships in our life. And I was very struck by something which my driver said earlier this year. His father had died and he was very close to his father. And he said to me, Tricia, he says, this is what I say to God. He says to God, God, you have put me in this situation. I don't want to be here out of choice, but whether I like it or not, I am here. So let's see what you're going to do in this situation and how you're going to lead me forward again. Now, it's been a tremendous help for me when the going gets tough. Now, I don't want to be in this situation, but I am, like it or not, I can't turn history back. So let's see what God's going to do here and how he's going to lead me on. So, finally, what does this passage say to all of us here today? I wonder if any of us are out of step in our relationship with God, in our walk with God. I wonder if for any of us, God is trying to catch our attention. Maybe he wants to put us back on the straight and narrow again. Is God trying to catch your attention and say something to you at this time? And then what about your service for God? Do you sometimes feel that you're on a bit of a long, lonely journey in what you're doing for God? The way's not always easy. Maybe there's little encouragement from other people. Sometimes our serving of God can be a long, lonely journey. But let us all look and see what God is doing in the situation that we're in. And I believe if we put God first, if we follow in his footsteps, if we're obedient to him, then we will find the blessing of God in our lives. We will find his promises fulfilled in our lives. And we will see God at work in a wonderful way. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the way that you were with Jacob on his long and lonely journey. And you didn't leave him alone. And you had a purpose and a plan for his life. And as long as he was willing to put you first, then that plan could be fulfilled. I thank you, Father, for the way all that speaks to me in Sudan and the way I've seen your faithfulness there, your presence with me, even though maybe at times I wasn't aware of it. But I pray for all of us, Lord, that we may be in step with what you're wanting to do in our lives, and that we may be listening to you when you're speaking to us. And Father, if we feel we're on a long, lonely journey in our lives, may we be aware of your presence with us and your blessing upon us. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Alicia, thank you very much indeed. Well, we're going to sing a hymn now that has allusions to that incident in Genesis. You'll find it on, it's number 561, 561. O God of Bethel, by whose